Today, we are continuing on with Whispers from God. Now, Whispers from God is a whole thing about learning to hear God's voice. And back on the information table are my notes for today and notes from past services as well. So I don't know how many. I only make about five of the past. But I have a list, like 52 ways that I've experienced God's voice and other different ways that things are happening. God, it says in Job that God speaks one way and then he speaks another, but none perceive. God wants to communicate with us. God's a very communicative God. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to hear his voice because it's by hearing his voice that we become refined, that we become transformed. It's the power of God's voice in us that brings us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. It's not our work or our ability, because that would be works. That would give us reason to boast. But it's God's word in us. It's the seed that God places in our hearts that changes us and brings us from glory to glory. So one of the stories that I shared, I want to share it again for emphasis, is that I used to give prophetic words. I used to be on the ministry team, and occasionally I would give a prophetic word here or there. And one time, I had a woman that kept coming to me. I would just say, "Lord, if you have anything for me to say on your behalf to her, let me know." And I got words a number of times, and she seemed to come every week. Eventually, she just started coming to me. And I remember coming up to her, and I wanted to pray for her. I was like the same old thing. As soon as I began to put myself in that place to hear from God and give her a message, the Lord told me to stop it. He told me not to give her another word. And I was like shocked because I just wanted to bless her. She was a sweet lady. I just wanted to bless her and to be that intermediary or whatever for her. But God said this to me. I felt it so strongly. So you want to know how I hear the voice of God? I don't always hear the voice of God, but when I hear it, it can be very strong. And this one was, "Don't ever allow your gift to get between me and my children." So rather than to give you a prophetic word today, I want to teach you how to hear the voice of God for yourself. As we read in the Hebrew, Kol Damama Dak, that when Elijah was at the cave, the voice sounded like a thin, silent voice or a whisper. It was a whisper that God was speaking. And whispers are easy to drown out, right? They're easy. You ever been in a crowded room and someone's trying to whisper to you and you can't hear them? I have that happen to me all the time as a pastor. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to sit there and act like I can't hear them because, you know, but I'm like, I hear about one word out of every 10, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to make sense of it, and I'm looking at them, and they're like, and I'm like, and so it can be very difficult. Learning to hear God's voice is takes practice, it takes time, and there's a lot of things. Matter of fact, in this lesson, I have 21 possible hindrances to hearing God's voice. And I'm going to share those with you so that you can do a checklist. But ultimately, it's Holy Spirit that leads you into hearing his voice. I think setting the right expectations are really important too. I've met people that think they hear God's voice all the time. They're usually fairly scary. Most people I know don't hear God's voice clearly, especially for themselves, all the time. But there are moments of clarity. There are moments that come where God speaks to them. Now, interestingly enough, in the prophetic, we oftentimes can hear for others much more clearly than we can hear for ourselves. Now, why is that? Because we don't have a vested interest in whatever the answer is. "Oh, you're going to die tomorrow. Sorry, man." You know, it's not us, right? So it's like we can give the message, right? I'm only joking. That was an exaggeration, okay? But the point of, I'm not invested in that word as they are. So it's easier for me to hear for them. But when God speaks to me, I'm kind of like, "God, you can speak in this area," or "God, you can speak in that area." But I don't necessarily give him the whole platelet of areas in my life. He doesn't have the full spectrum because I am guarded in areas. I don't want certain answers. I'm afraid of some of the things that God might say. Matter of fact, the Bible says to fall into the hands of God is a frightening, fearful thing. Because giving up your self-control is tough to do. And people sit there and go, oh, I do it. Yeah, you might have done it for a moment. Do you walk that way through your life? And the answer is, not many people do. That's why we're a project. That's why we have things like RTF and the Father's Heart and other things to help us to hear what God is really saying to us. Because we have a hard time hearing him in the mutter and in the mud of our lives. Amen? Because we are concerned about losing control. I remember watching this atheist. I mentioned this many a times. And he talked about all the reasons why God doesn't exist. But then at the end of his... I watched an hour of this. Can you believe it? It was painful. But then at the end of his thing, he said this. He said, even if there was a God, I wouldn't want to follow him. Because I want to be in control of my own life and my own destiny. Nobody's in control of their own life and their own destiny. You know, you can't help what's going to happen to you. Tomorrow, a meteorite could fall from the sky and wipe you out. You have no idea what's coming. You have no idea. I've met many of people who down the road, they perished in a car accident or whatever. They had no idea it was coming that day. One guy I know was Frank Pastore. He did kind of know. And I don't know if you know who he was, but he had the radio show and where reason and faith intersect. And on his last day of broadcasting, he said, you know, one of these days, someone's going to hit me in a car. He used to ride a motorcycle up and down the 210 and wipe me out. And sure enough, that day, that exact thing happened. It was almost like he was prophetic over his own life. For those reasons, I don't ride motorcycles. I ain't giving the devil a chance to take me out. Amen? For those that do, it's all right, but just be cautious, because it's not you I'm concerned about, it's the other guy. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. So today we're going to be talking about unheard whispers. Unheard. God is speaking one way, he's speaking another, but no one perceives it. God likes to communicate with his children. I have children. I tried to communicate to them when they were younger. They didn't listen so much. So I ended up repeating myself over and over again. Then I tried drama and all sorts of things to try to get their attention. I have wonderful children, but yeah, they were children. I got the opportunity and the joy of watching my grandchildren last night, and one of them wouldn't listen to me. So being the papa, I just had them sit with me in a chair. I just held on to them. And they didn't like that very much. And I said, you're just going to sit here with me for a while. What do you want to talk about? I don't want to talk about anything. Just sit here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. She's three years old, all right? After, and then she's crying and she's upset. She doesn't want to sit there. And she has scratched one of her brothers or sisters. It was some sort of something like that. I just had her sit there with me. And then after she settled down, I said, you know, if you settle down, we talk, you get up from here. And so she sat there and she went, And she was not terribly excited about submitting to the program here. It was like, this is not my, you know, whatever. And finally she said, okay, what does he want to say? And I said, will you promise me not to scratch your brothers or sisters? Mm-hmm. And I won't hurt them. Okay, then you can get up and go. Here's the point I'm making. Sometimes God just has to sit for a while and he doesn't say a word. He's like, you get over your drama. You know what I'm saying? You get over your drama, then we're going to talk. But I can't talk with you while you're in the middle of drama, because you won't listen anyway. See, there are so many reasons we miss the voice of God. And as I spoke in that other one, I gave you 52 different ways and growing of how I've received the word of God. It's not always through a voice. It's an impression. It's something that happens. God is looking at what captures our attention, and he's oftentimes chooses that to speak to us. So what are you paying attention to? TV? God will use TV. Movies? God will use movies. The internet? God will use the internet. But also, Satan will use all these as well. So the questions I have today are these. Do you have trouble hearing God's voice? Do you often feel like, hey, look, I tried, but I'm not hearing God's voice. What am I doing wrong? What's stopping me? And then the other one I want to talk about, can I have a normal conversation with God whenever I wish? The answer to that one I'm going to tell you right now is no. Okay, and we looked at things over the weeks, such as when Paul was going out on the second missionary trip from Antioch, where he went and tried to go into Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, said no. And then he tried to go north into Bithynia, and Jesus said, the Spirit of Jesus prevented him. And then he had two directions. He could go back the way he came, or he could go down into Troas, which is by the Mediterranean Sea. He chose to go forward. It was because he chose to go forward that he got the dream of the Macedonian man saying, come here and help us. You see, sometimes we turn around and go back to Antioch. Sometimes we get frustrated and we don't want to go forward because we feel like, well, Holy Spirit just doesn't want me to do anything. He said no this way. He said no that way. But the fact is, God has a plan, and we have to press forward. In the last instructions he gave us, we need to press forward until we hear something new. Amen? And that's what happened with it. Now, this is a man that wrote, you know, depending on what you believe, half to two-thirds of the New Testament. He wasn't getting step-by-step instructions, and I wonder why. He was the one bringing the good news of the gospel to the Gentiles. He was the one breaking into the enemy strongholds. I wonder why it was so difficult for him to hear. We'll get on with that in a minute, but I wanted to at least bring those thoughts up to you. So the nature of a whisper is that you have to listen closely. If I go like this, you can't hear it. I have to be close with you. There has to be a level of intimacy where we're in proximity to one another. Amen? I hear people, I have these two nieces, Sammy and Lindsay, and they love to whisper to one another. They're just like these two sisters that are so close. And whenever I go to a function or a dinner where they're at, I'm always going, what are you guys saying over there? Why are you whispering? But I can't hear what they're saying because they're way over there. See, there's no level of proximity between us. See, one of the things is a lot of us live our life far from God, but we want to hear the whisper. You can't hear the whisper until you draw close. Amen? I wrote this out. It's hard to hear whispers in a loud, crowded room. Some of us have too many voices. There's this scene in the movie Samurai where the guy's learning how to do the sword fighting. He's learning how to do it, and this guy keeps looking at him, and he's trying to figure things out. He keeps getting slapped in the head with the stick because they're using the sticks. And one of the guys looks over him and goes, got too many voices, meaning you have too many thoughts, too many ideas. You're thinking too much, and you're just simply not focused on what you need to do. And that has always been inspiration to me about God. Sometimes we just need to eliminate all the clutter, get out of the crowded room, get away from the voices, and listen to God. Amen? Your expectations must be in line to God's, just as you must be in proximity to hear a whisper. In other words, sometimes our expectation is, God's going to tell me today that I'm getting a brand new car. And you get there and you listen, you hear nothing. Because there's the only one thing you want to hear is that God's going to give you a brand new car. And God has something else to say to you. So the first thing that I want to tell you to prepare yourself to hear God's voice is that God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? Romans 2:11 says, for God shows no partiality. In Acts 10:34-35, it says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. In other words, sometimes we disqualify ourselves from hearing God's voice because we don't believe we qualify. Sometimes we're the harshest critics of our own selves. And we're like, I just don't get it. I just need, God doesn't want to speak to me. But God is not a respecter of persons. And the question I put down here is, do you believe it? Because it's one thing for you to hear me and give me the bobblehead. You know what I'm saying? I love bobbleheads. But do you really believe that God is no respecter of persons? Maybe, you know, there's something different about you. Maybe you're not as in the best shape you can be. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes in your life. Maybe you think that God is unable to bring you in that place. Maybe you feel like there's just something wrong with you. You see what I'm saying? But for many different reasons, we disqualify ourselves in the presence of God. But it isn't you that qualifies or disqualifies yourself. It's Christ that qualifies you. And as far as God's concerned, you have the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. When you come into his presence, you have every right that Christ has in his presence. You may not have the assignment, but you have the right. You know what I'm saying? You have the right standing before God. The ability to hear is based primarily on faith. And, you know, Hebrews 11:6 says it so well. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who seek him. God rewards those who go after him. You know, a lot of people sit there and they go, well, I'm just going to give God a try. That's not faith. That's gambling. Let's see if he's real. Like, pull the one-arm jack there and pull it down. That's not faith. Faith is knowing that God is there and that if you seek him, he will reward you. So first, he's not a respecter of men. Two, he will reward anybody who seeks him and puts him first. God is not a respecter of men. He doesn't sit there and go, I'm using you because obviously you're God's favorite. But dude. You know what I'm saying? Dude. Don't even bother, man. Just dude. it's like sometimes we feel like God has, like, you know, for some reason we're just not his favorite. Now, see, I know that when I raised my kids, I loved all my kids equally. I might have loved them differently, but I loved them all equally. They were all different people. And there are things that irritated me about some, even Sarah right there. There are some things that irritated me, but about each of them, no doubt. And I'm sure I was an irritation to them at times. But I loved each one of them because there was something amazing about every single child. Something amazing. And so, you know, you sit there and you have to realize that God sees us like that. There's something amazing about each one of us. God thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're amazing. Because, you don't realize how amazing you are. That in all this warfare and all this darkness of this world and all that, you have chosen Christ above it all. You know how rare that is? The angels stand around, they're looking at you and they're going, wow, they get it. How do they get it? Because they don't see what we see. They don't know what we know. I mean, it's a rare thing who you are. You are amazing. Amen? And then the next key that I think is really important to hear the voice of God is, frankly, humility. And humility isn't this false humility like, I can't do it, I can't get it done, it never works. Humility is so much different than that. Humility is the realization that you are completely and utterly dependent upon God and that there is no room for bragging because you can do nothing of yourself. That humility is a rare thing. There's a lot of people that are humble, tell everyone what they can't do and why they're, but that's not true humility. True humility is not saying what you can't do. True humility is saying you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. That's true humility. True humility is just saying, look it, I can't say I can do all things if I don't say through Christ who strengthens me. See, a hubris heart would say, a prideful heart would say, I can do all things, I can do anything, nothing's impossible. That's the height of hubris, right? But when you sit there and go, I can do nothing except through him, Now you have, you're walking in that true humility. God doesn't want you to tell him what you can't do. God just wants to know that it takes him for you to do it.
Amen.
Does that make sense? He's not interested in you telling him, oh, I can't do that. I'm just not, I can't sing. Well, I really can't sing. But, you know, if God wanted me to sing, I could sing. You see what I'm saying? It's about that dependence on God and qualifying everything you say you can't do based upon his will and desire. If God wanted, he could make this into an opera singer. That'd be a miracle. That would increase your faith. Amen. All right. So it says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. That's what makes a community. If it's a bunch of hubris, prideful people that come in the room together, you are not going to be a community. It takes humility to build a community. And for God opposes the proud, but what? Gives grace to the humble. Humility, I wrote here, takes the form of total surrender to God's will before you know what his will is. The whole John 7:17 thing. Humility takes the form of total surrender to God's will before you know what that will is. All right, we're at the list. 21 things that I believe are hindrances to hearing God's voice. And you might find the first one rather obvious. Sin. I know, right? Sin. I mean, rebellion towards God might actually prevent you from hearing his voice. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, right? For if we confess our sins, he's good and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So it's always right there. But sin. And you know what? Some of us have gotten comfortable with our sin. We like living with our sins. Sins are kind of, they get comfortable after a while. The conscience gets seared and we just kind of get used to dwelling in our sin. God wants you to know that in his presence, no sin is permissible. That all sin is rebellion towards God. And when you're in rebellion, you're not really listening. Number two, fear. Believe it or not, fear can cause us not to hear God's voice. When we're overly afraid, not just of our circumstances, but specifically in what God might say, fear can cause us to not fully receive from God. And that's why Jesus said, fear not, flock, for it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. See, there is fear that God doesn't want to give things to us, but the fact is he does. He wants to give us the whole kingdom. And so we have to remove that fear in our hearts. Another one is ignorance. Hosea 4:6, right? You reject knowledge. You know, we reject knowledge, the people perish. It's because of ignorance, because we choose ignorance. Number four, a distracted heart by the enemy. The scripture that comes to mind is when Peter comes to Jesus and says, no, you're not going to die. None of that's going to happen. And Jesus said, get back behind me, Satan. You see, sometimes we get distracted because of our own desires over God's desires. And sometimes we just have to find out what is distracting us. Another one, John 2:16, distracted hearts by the lusts of this world. You know, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh all distract us from hearing God's voice. Number six, pride. And I mentioned that one earlier. 1 Peter 5:5 and James 4:6. God gives grace to the humble. So if you have pride in your heart, and I've told you over and over again, the number one enemy to my walk with God is pride. Not because I'm so great, not because I'm a pastor or I think I've done, but pride, you do anything with any amount of success, and the enemy's right there going, see, you got it, dude, you're awesome, you got it. And then the next moment you know, you're kind of going, yeah, I guess I got it a little bit. Yeah, I guess I do. And that pride will prevent us from hearing his voice. Unforgiveness. Matter of fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he makes such a solid and complete inclusion of forgiveness first from God, but also our ability to forgive others. that God says that we need to walk in forgiveness. But here's something that I think is amazing. When we talk about the guy that presents his present at the altar, and if anyone has aught against you, go and make it right with them first. Go and get healing from them. It's not just forgiveness to people for what they've done to you. It's forgiveness from people that you've done things against them, where they have some reason to be against you, can hinder our prayers, hinder our ability to come into God's presence. So forgiveness, unforgiveness, is a huge hindrance to the things of God. And then the ninth one, number nine, is the carnal mind. The carnal mind doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. And if we're walking in the carnality of our mind and the carnality of our thoughts, we're not going to hear God's voice, because the Spirit and the carnal mind are not congruent. They're not able to be one. Number 10, grieving Holy Spirit. There's things that we do that grieve Holy Spirit. And when we grieve Holy Spirit, we cut ourselves off from the flow of God's anointing and his presence. And when we do that, we become deaf to his word. Number 11, hurts, wounds, things that are in our hearts, sometimes they cause us to where we can't receive in certain areas. We can't hear God's voice where we're wounded and we're hurt because we're so defensive of those areas. You know, when you get a sore, or you broke something, you got a sore in your arm, and people get close, you're kind of like, you protect that part of your body. And we tend to protect areas that we've been hurt in. And sometimes God can't speak through that hurt, because that hurt, we're so protective in it that we're not open to what God might say in that area in our lives. Hurts, wounds, spiritual wounds, soulish wounds can cause us not to hear God's voice. 12, deception. When we're deceived, Romans 1:21 and Jeremiah 23:16, we start accepting other voices other than God's as God. We, our own internal voice, our own ability to have thoughts and process. You know, you really can talk to yourself. That isn't God. That's just you talking to yourself. Thank God for Bluetooth, right? Now we can talk in the car to ourselves and everyone thinks we're on the phone. Right. Amen? So deception can be really something that prevents us from, and you know what? Sometimes we don't know that we're just self-deceived. That's why we need to be in community. That's why we need to go through things like RTF, so that when we go through these sessions, God can reveal to us where we're not seeing or hearing correctly. Got to make sure that when we think we're hearing God's voice, we're not just having a conversation with ourselves. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment, because there are some things that make it like, okay, that is God, right? First of all, it's something you wouldn't say to yourself. It's something you definitely don't want to do. Oh, yeah, there's things that just let you know that it's God, right? But then people have said that God, I mean, people have been so deceived that they said, God wants me to kill this person. Have you ever heard that kind of a thing before? That's kind of scary, because that's not the nature or character of God. And God's voice is always in the nature or character of God. And if he said, thou shalt not murder, he meant, thou shalt not murder. He's not like, I'm going to change the rules so you can go crazy on somebody, you know? Number 13, generational sin. Exodus 12, by the way, that last one, that's why we need each other. Because if I come up to you, I sit there and go, now I feel like God told me that I got to go over and break that window right there. You can go like, dude, that ain't God. I don't know what you've been taking, but that ain't God. You see what I'm saying? We need each other. Now, that was a very obvious thing. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm just going to go write them a letter and tell them that they're, and you go, no, that's not God. Why don't you just love on them? Buy them a gift. Do something kind to them. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to respond in anger. See, sometimes we deceive ourselves thinking that God wants for us. I remember when that guy used to pick on me at work. I mean, I told you about it, and eventually he got saved. But he used to pick on me. I was like, God, I seek vengeance on this guy. You know, it's like this guy. I mean, he was literally, he was making my life miserable, just miserable. And I was like, God, why are you putting me through this? Why am I at this? Why is this guy picking up? I didn't do anything to him. All I did was say I was a Christian. Boy, that set him off. From that moment on, he was there to destroy me. He gave me horrible nicknames. He tried to get him to catch on with the other guys. You know, we were a heavy gang group, so we were all a bunch of guys out there climbing telephone poles, and he was trying to make, he was really going after me. The whole time he was testing me, but I didn't realize it. I just thought he was a jerk and wished that God had given me permission to, you know, alter his face a little bit. But God said just to love him and just to endure it. And, you know, we don't think like that. I don't think like that. I'm like, man, you punched me in the nose. I won't punch you in the nose. This guy shoved me, threw things at me. I get up on a pole. It's a lot of work. If your ground man doesn't help you, then you have to climb down and get something that you forgot or something that you found out you need. It's a lot of work. And he'd just turn around and walk away and just leave me up on the pole. And I'd have to climb back down and climb back up. And so, you know, there was a lot of stuff like that. And I was just at the point where I was at breakage with him. And finally, he lost his license and he could no longer work for the phone company. And it was years later they called and said, because of you, I gave my life to Jesus. Wow. See, sometimes you just don't know. I'm like, here I'm seeking, you know, God, give me justice. Rid this vermin from my life. And the whole time God was using me to bring him to salvation. And that's how foolish I was. So we can get deceived in a lot of different ways. Number 13, generational sin. Like, for instance, this Pastor Linda here was had some sin that she, in her generational past, that she hadn't dealt with. She gives me the finger claw sign, okay. In Exodus 25 and 3:4-7, listen, sometimes things are in our lives and they become generational in nature. Now, I believe that when we're saved and give our life to Jesus and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, that God can break all those generational sins. But there's some of them, for some reason, that require a level of awareness. Awareness, too, so that we can target them specifically and end them. And that's something that RTF does. So if you go into RTF, they go through those type of things. So, yes, the blood of Jesus breaks the generation. But there's some things in our family line that we can use to help others in our family line get free from them. Amen? So please consider RTF. It's people are there to minister and to guide you through these four different areas. It's so important. Okay, number 14. We're almost two-thirds of the way through. Wrong identity. Wrong identity. Sometimes we come to God going, I'm just a sinner. Well, yeah, you were, and you can sin again. But if you go to God and you tell him, all you do is complain about all your past sins, you're not going to hear so clearly. You see what I'm saying? It's going to stop you. You have to realize and accept your new identity as a child of God, that you have been righteous, not on your own actions, but because of what Christ did for you, and that you now are the righteous, have that righteousness of Christ in your life. And you need to operate with that identity, or you're going to be stunted in your ability to hear God, because you're not going to think that you qualify. All right. 15, wrong priorities. Matthew 6:33. Sometimes we do not put the kingdom first. And it's amazing, like I told you, when Paul went out from Antioch, he could have, when he was denied the south and the north, he could have head back. Instead, he went to Troas. Sometimes we give up. We have the wrong priorities, and we fail to encounter God because we don't go to Troas. Go, here's my thing, go to Troas. Well, what does that mean for me individually? Okay, so like, when we planted this church, I went one way in ministry, and that didn't work for me so well. I went another way. I didn't know what else to do, so I went forward. And when I went forward, God said, now you're ready to plant a church. You see, it's that obedience to what you last heard. Paul knew he was called to preach to the Gentiles, and going back wasn't going to get the job done. So he went forward to the sea. He went as far as he could. And then God said, go a little farther. Get on a boat. Go a little farther. And that's what God's telling you right now. Go a little farther. Get on the boat. Yeah, you're at the edge of the sea and you're saying, well, that's it, as far as I can go. God's like, no, get on the boat. Get on the boat, go across. I got something for you over there. It's a good word. Being stingy. The evil eye. That's what the Hebrews call the evil eye. Being stingy. Being ungenerous. Looking at people like, oh, they're just going to use it on drugs and alcohol. You know, we give ourselves all sorts of reasons not to be generous people. Here's my belief. I want to take advantage of every opportunity that I have to give. I may not have the money to give to everything, the full amount they need, but every opportunity that God brings in my heart, I want to give to that if I can. I'm a sucker for those grocery store things. $5 for the fire victims. Yes, amen. Yes, I'm doing it. Because I want to be as generous as I can be. I try to be a generous person. I want to be. That's who I am. That's my identity. I want to be one who gives, not receives. I don't mind receiving. And it's not pride. It's just I'd rather be a giver. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he was absolutely right. But there are people who walk around stingy. And stingy is like a giant turnoff to God. When you're stingy, it's like, you don't get it. And you really don't. I want to take advantage of every opportunity I can. Now, my wife stopped giving me cash because I kept giving it away to everybody. But I want to be, I don't think I can outgive God. I truly don't believe I can outgive God. So I'm going to keep giving with all that I am. And, you know, I'm not trying to put God to the test, but I'm kind of putting him to the test. Because it's like, I'm going to keep giving because I want to give. And you know what? God gives to me. Pressed down, shaken together. He just gives unto to me and Jeannie, and we are totally amazed. Someone here even just bought me a new chair, and I won't mention who. I'm enjoying that every day. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're almost done here. Spiritual dullness. Sometimes we just don't exercise our spirit walk with God. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit. We just get dull in hearing. In Isaiah 6:8, Matthew 13:15, Acts 28:27, the way you get out of spiritual dullness is you spend quality time with God. You get in there and you just say, God, let's do this. And you just get in there and you start clearing the wax out of your ears. I'm prepared to receive. A lot of times God won't speak to us because we're not ready for it. Habakkuk 2:2, he says, get out the pen and get out the paper and get ready. I'm about to speak. You write down the vision and then you can run with it. But notice he says you got to write it down before you can run it. A lot of times we just like, God, go ahead and tell me, man. If I need to hear it again, you'll show me again. But sometimes God wants us to be prepared for what he's to give us. And sometimes we're not willing to take the time to be prepared. And that can cause us a hindrance to us in hearing God's voice. Improper judgments. 1 Chronicles 11:30. Sometimes we are judgmental. And we can, and unforgiving is really where that comes to. But that judgment, those improper judgments, can cut us off from the flow that God has for us. And Christians can be really bad at judgment sometimes. Katrina came and is like, that was God's judgment on Bourbon Street. What about the Christian churches that were wiped out because of that thing? Nah, see, fallen world. Sit there and blame. You know, it's God. God did it because it somehow ministered to some level of justice that they felt was deserving upon those people because of their sin. Listen, sin's its own curse all by itself. You don't need to add anything to it. It leads you into death. The ultimate end of sin is death. All right, so that was 1920. We only got two more. We listen the wrong way. Sometimes we're over here going, hello, God? Hello? Hello, I'm listening. Hello? And God's not speaking that way. You got to be open to all the ways that God speaks. And sometimes God speaks through the community, through someone that you know and hear. And you need to be open for that, amen? The prophetic isn't here to tell you God's voice. The prophetic is to confirm what you already know. Does that make sense? Sometimes we want the prophetic to guide us and lead us, but the prophetic is really here to confirm. We may not be able to fully recognize it, but when we hear it, we go, that's me. That's what God wants to say to me. And it brings something alive in us. And then the last one, and this is one that you really have to understand, you may never get fully free of, and that's warfare. We have an enemy that is dedicated to making sure you don't hear God's voice. He wants to distract you. He wants to put fear in your heart. He wants to get you lusting after things. He wants to tempt you. God doesn't tempt people, but Satan does. He wants to show you that that anything he can to get you distracted from God. And that warfare can come in the way of a personal physical attack. Like I got pushed and shoved, come from disease, come from all sorts of things. But God is trying to get you to stop trusting. Satan is trying to get you to stop trusting in God. He's trying to get you to look over here. Don't look at the guy behind the curtain. Look at the big fiery thing in front of you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have to realize who's pulling the strings. So there's 21 things that I think can be hindrances to hearing God's voice, with the expectation that you're not going to always hear God's voice. These are all issues of the heart, and they all talk ultimately about relationship with God and about your ability to have intimacy with God. That means cutting away specific time and place to be alone with God, to shut your trap, to put away all your busyness, and to just sit there and go, God, I'm just here waiting on you. Three more thoughts, and then we're done. First of all, whenever I want to come into the presence of God, when I want to hear his voice, I ask Holy Spirit to show me if there's anything in me that's prohibiting me to hear God's voice. So I say in here, ask Holy Spirit to use your conscience. God has given us a conscience to lead you to an encounter. A conscience allows you to be cleansed of everything that comes in your heart. Our conscience is given to us by God to help convict us of sin and lead us to repentance. That's why you can sear the heart. That's why you can avoid things. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart. You see, you have to have a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from what? An evil conscience. If you have an evil conscience, it's going to keep you away from God. It's going to keep you from him. We have to get cleansed of that evil conscience. We have to be cleansed. It tells us how here in Hebrews. It says, true heart and full assurance rate with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with water. So the Holy Spirit comes and shows us where we sin, and we repent of that sin. And then because we repent of it, 1 John 1:9, God forgives us as we confess it. And then the Holy Spirit shows us the next and the next and the next. And there is a possibility that if you walk in sin too long, you can sear your heart and you don't even feel the prick of the sin you're committing. But when you dedicate yourself to find those things, God will reveal them. Thomas Aquinas said this. He said that the conscience is the God-given inner voice that either accuses us or excuses us in terms of what we do. So God's voice, God's conscience, the conscience he'd given them. The Hebrews believe that when the law was given from Mount Sinai, when God gave forth the law, that it went throughout the world into the consciousness of man. That people would know right and wrong even if they didn't know the true and living God. And that's why it says in Romans that if they don't know God, then they become a law unto themselves. In other words, their consciousness becomes their law. It's kind of an interesting concept, but it would explain how God deals with people that are far from him and don't know him. And yet, he gave them a conscience so that they would know. You have to remember that God refines and tests. In Jeremiah 9:7 says this, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them, for what else can I do because of my people? Because they're my people. And this is what I want you to understand. We may not see it now, but everything God does is for our own good. This does not mean that he caused a trial for us, as God tempts no one, but he does let us go through things in order to help us grow. And here's what I want you to really get. When the test is out, the teacher is silent. So God will be dealing with you for a while, and you'll be dealing in this area, going, okay, I get that, yeah. And all of a sudden, you won't feel the touch of God for a while. And all of a sudden, the test will come, and God's sitting there waiting. Did they learn? Or do we have to go back to square one? And he'll watch what happens during the test. God is refining and testing us constantly. Someone asked me, Am I in a test? I say this all the time. Are you breathing? Yeah. You're in a test. It's a test. If you know it's a test, pass it, please. But God is gracious and kind, and he'll give us many, many go-overs. Unlike some of my professors in college, they would not give me go-overs. But God will give you go-overs. He'll give you a second chances. Praise God. The last item, trust God and know that he is working in you to your own benefit. See, these refinements, these tests, these times where I can hear his voice, these times where I can't hear his voice, all of it is working to my good. For it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So we need to ask ourselves, do I love God? One, love God means obey his commandments. That means the written commandments and the ones he speaks to your heart. And number two, am I called according to his purpose? Am I answering the call? And if we know those two things, and we know one thing for sure, that everything's going to turn out all right. Everything's going to work out. And that's kind of hard to trust God sometimes when you see circumstances, when you see medical reports, when you see all sorts of things coming against you, and you're like, how is this going to work to my good? God will work it to your good. He will use everything in your life to bring you through. Amen? He may not have put them there, but he'll use them for your good. Isn't that a great thing? My last thing to say is this. We need to take this and have an internal perspective and not just a limited what makes me happy now thing. We have to have eternal perspective that can only come from God. You can't sit there and go, why am I going through this, and figure it out in the midst of that one incident. You have to see the long picture. It's not this life that we're trying to be the most blessed of everything. It's the eternal life that we spend with God. Amen? Amen. And it's because of the eternal life, sometimes we go through, excuse the word, crap. Family crap. Personal crap. Health crap. All sorts of crap. Sorry, I know that's not a good word. My wife would be very angry at me right now. She doesn't like that word. That's one for cuss words. She's not here. I love you, honey. She doesn't listen to my messages. I love you. Okay. She listens when she's here. So what we want to do now is to trust God. What I want you to do is trust God to hear his voice. Trust God every day. Wake up every morning and say, God, I don't understand all the circumstances in my life. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that when you need to, you're going to speak to me. I'm going to do everything I can to prepare myself, remove every hindrance, make sure I'm not in sin. I'm going to do what I can to walk in faith and to be listening for when you speak. I'll be looking through the 52 ways plus that Pastor David has shown us. God is speaking to you all the time, except when the test is out. And then sometimes he's like, I wonder what they'll do if I don't give them step-by-step instructions. It's like when you're with kids. I sit there and I help my grandkids learn how to cross the street. And I'll stand there with them. I'll have them look both ways, and they'll cross the street. And sometimes I'll tell them each time, look both ways. And then we'll get up there, and I won't say a word. I know there's no cars. I'm listening. I'm looking. There's no cars. I wait to see if they look both ways. Aslan always does this. Like four times, four different ways. Gideon, boop! Sometimes he looks one way. So, Kezie, you don't know. Praise God. Thank you, Father. So the thing I want you to understand is you're not going to always hear God's voice. God will speak to you almost all the time for someone else, but oftentimes for yourself, when there's a test out, when things are happening, there's lots of reasons that you might be hindered from hearing his voice, but even if you weren't hindered by any of them, you may not hear God's voice every moment of every time. It didn't happen for Paul, and Paul was being as obedient as he could be. So don't be frustrated if you can't hear his voice for a season. God hasn't rejected you. Sometimes you're going through a test. Sometimes it's just warfare all around you. Sometimes it's a lot of different things. But know this, God loves you and that he speaks to you because his sheep hear his voice. And you will hear it when you need to hear it. Amen? just make sure that you go over these 21 things and make sure that you're prepared to hear it for when it comes. The people that go around and say, God told me to use the pink toothbrush today. And God told me to walk with my left foot on the right side. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of scary stuff. And for a while there, you know, I'm trying to believe all things. I'm going, no. That's not God. God doesn't speak to us about every little thing in our life. But he does hit the highlights, amen? And he'll have as much conversation with you as you're willing to listen. Amen? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, it is my desire as a servant leader to lead everyone into hearing your voice for themselves. God, you didn't call me to be an intermediary. You didn't call me to be an intermediary to the saved. Maybe to the unsaved, but not to the saved. You want each of your children to hear you and to know your voice. And so, Father, I ask right now, Father, that you would unplug their ears, Father, that you would give them a sensitivity and desire to seek you above all things. God, that you would help them to hear your voice more clearly today than ever before. I pray that their lives would be enriched with your word, challenged by your requests, and faithful to follow through. Now, if there's anyone here today and you said, I've never heard God's voice, I have never given my life to Jesus, I want to explain to you that we have all fallen. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are not alone. You are with another 7.6 billion people and all those that came before. But God has made a way for you to be restored unto him where you can hear his voice. If we would come to the Lord and repent of our sins and accept his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never done that, you've never fully given your heart to Christ, then I want you to take this opportunity to accept him as your Lord and Savior. With every eye closed and every head bowed, and we're going to say a prayer in a moment. I want you to say it with all that you are. I want you to say it with all the faith and all the trust that you can give. Say this prayer with me now, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, who you sent as my Savior. I repent now of all my sin, all my wrong action, all my wrong thoughts. And I ask for your forgiveness as I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for restoring our relationship. And thank you for helping me to hear your voice. May I be obedient to it all the days of my life. Amen. If you said that and meant it, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith to show that you truly meant what you said. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. I want you to raise them high. I want to see your hands. It's going to be between me, you, and Jesus. Count of three, raise them up. One, two, three. Let me see those hands go up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven hands. Go ahead and put your hands down. Give God a clap. Give him a praise. People are taking steps closer to God. Stand up with me as I dismiss you. Prayer team, come on up. I want to tell you, if you raise your hand, please come up and get prayer. But if you need prayer for anything, we have an amazing prayer team here to pray with you. This month, we'll be starting a new series called Lights of the World. You're going to want to hear this one because I'm going to tell you how to love people. Amen. For right now, I want you just to sit there and say this with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of every blockage. For everything that I have done wrong. I forgive all those who have sinned against me. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I seek you now to know your will and purpose for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and go with God. We'll see you next time.